Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created 1-2-listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life. On demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 1-2-listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I'm Mark Husson, and 1-2-listen.com and the 1-2 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
I know your history, but have you forgiven? Because I have forgiven. And there's always more. But in this moment, can you take a look back and say, I have forgiven? Because love is not just what you say. Love is what you do. Love is what you be. That's the work. That's the work for spiritual. You don't even seek spirituality. You are it. So I say truth student. Truth student. There you go. That's what I'll say. Ah, it's about letting go. It's about looking at what showed up in our lives. And, you know, everything that happened has been a blessing, no matter how painful it was. I don't care what you say about it. Yep. If you disagree, 347-426-3346. No matter what you went through, no matter how traumatic it was, even if you're still grieving, there is a blessing if you're willing to see it. There is a blessing. I'm not taking for granted that the pain must have been hard, the challenges, or maybe you still feel in the pain. But the truth is, where I stand, what I know to be true is there are no accidents. And everything that we went through, that we're going through, is all part of the process for you to evolve, for you to know yourself in a whole new way. So everything works together for good, for God, for Goddess. So you might want to consider forgiving so you can keep moving on rather than finding yourself being stuck in the past. It's not always easy, but the fact that you're on this planet, you're ready to do the work. And if you're listening to this, I'm not interested in your excuses. Love is not just what you say, it's what you do. It's who you be, boo. Yes, yes, yes. State of Man. Lead singer, my brother, John Stringer. And you can find their website. I knew that. I knew what I was going to say. Just needed a little bit of moment to pull it together. Their website by going to stateofmanmusic.com. It's funny because people always posting, a real man doesn't do so-and-so. A real woman doesn't. Like, what are you talking about? But I'm going to jump in that bandwagon. A real man forgives. And so does a real woman. Whatever that means, real. let's just breathe in this moment with all that's going on in your life, in my life, that we know about, that we don't know about. Things are happening behind the scenes for our greater good, but we think it's not working out because it's taking too long. Let's just breathe all of that in, knowing that God, Goddess, is in control. And we are part of a story that was already written and is still being written. And we are always going to come out the hero. But at the very least, if you leave, if the movie ends and you're the villain, you can just say, I'll be back. Because you will be. Believe it or not, if you believe it or not, you will be back. But I want to welcome you back to Life Conversations Radio. good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins, where change is inspired, and you make a difference. You make a difference because you exist. Now you get to choose how far you want to go with it. You have the power. You've been given the permission to go forth and multiply the consciousness of truth, to go forth and open up to more love. You get to choose. You can blame, judge, criticize, make excuses, or surrender, forgive, share, love, express. Pray. You get to choose. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on Life Conversations Radio. And I Am is your host. And the I Am presence is expressing as Life Coach Ade, the Naughty Professor, the Metaphysical Rebel, just me, but I'm so much more. Whew. I think I'm going to need a little bit of time. I need some time up in here. I welcome all of you in the chat room, those of you listening online. Thank you all for tuning in. Those of you listening on the phone line, we appreciate you. And our within radio listeners, thank you for your listening ears. Thank you for being part of the change. Thank you for your dedication to growth and transformation, because you know you have to be the change you want to see. Now, I need some time, so I'm going to bring on Celeste, who's got all the time that you can ever want, desire, need. Celeste, can I have some time? Can I have some time with ya? I don't know what's going on.
You know, time doesn't exist, so you have all the time in the world that you think
please.
You have.
Girl, please, in your world, time don't exist. Time existed when I tried to start the show and the computer wasn't acting right and things were moving slow. Time existed. Yeah,
you well, love rocks. Love rocks and love rules, and it's on its own time. I don't know who you're talking to. You ready?
I know. I'm talking to an enlightened being, of course. Time doesn't exist.
And
my computer doing what
house.
It was doing. Oh, yeah. She is in the house. Love rocks. I like that.
I know, Rage.
She needs to come up with a song. We need to write a song called Love Rocks.
Well, she can sing, too.
Yes, she can. I was thinking about her when she called in, her, Reverend Rio, when she called in on my birthday, well, the day before my birthday, and this morning I was just thinking about it, and I was trying to figure out who it was, and I was thinking, she got such a beautiful voice. So, yes, I know you're listening, Reverend Rio. We're waiting for you to come up with a song, and you got to do a solo, and of course you're going to do it at Agape, and we're all going to be there sitting in front, in the front seat, even if it's through the computer.
Hey, she's not scared of that. I've seen my sister sing at Agape before. She wore it out. Don't get me started.
I know she ain't scared. I know that.
She knows.
Because love rocks.
And it rules. Now, are you ready for your announcements, dear kind sir?
Ooh, you better believe it, because I still got some stuff I need to do to get ready. So, yeah, go ahead. Take your time.
Oh, you didn't. All right. Hello, beautiful family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Nutty Professor, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday to Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with, so Life Coach Today and our beautiful sister, Reverend Rio Kelly, can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, be sure to post your questions on the Ask Life Coach a Day fan web page. Be sure to create a new posting. We want to see you and get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach a Day button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. And did you know you have access to Life Coach a Day any time of the day? Yes, you do. You can email him any questions you may have, and he will answer them on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachaday.com. Is there a topic you would like Life Coach Today to explore on an upcoming show? You can email him that too. Let's get Life Coach Today's perspective on what you see moving and shaking in the world that is impacting you. The theme for the month of June is opening to more love, and we have wonderful guests who will help shift you one conversation at a time. Next week, you will have an opportunity to meet all the hosts on the Life Conversations Radio Network Ambassador Safira, Lisa Irison, and yours truly will be in the house on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. And here's some more information about our exciting shows. Be sure to join Ambassador Safira for the play experience. Have you played with yourself today? Do you passionately love and appreciate you? If not, take a trip on the playground every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, tune in to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today. Also, be sure to join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we take a deeper look into introspective tools like tarot, medicine cards, and black angel cards. Feel free to go to lifeconversationsmedia.com for more information. You'll find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. Did you know that the Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated? It is on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu, then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. We thank you in advance, family, for being such a blessing. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Thank you, Celeste. I appreciate you.
Gosh, my pleasure.
You do this. You do that so well. You need your own show. Oh, wait. You do have a show. I forgot.
I do. On Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern. In case you want to.
Yeah, in case I didn't know, right? Thank you, Celeste. I'm in the know now. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Good. Make sure you join me. Peace out.
Right. Yes, you are listening to the Crazy Love Show. Yes, we are here to inspire you. We are here to activate the endorphins in your body. We're here to shake you out of your depression. We shake you so hard that you can't help but express. You move from depression to expression. We shake you so hard, you're like, hey, stop it. That's good enough. That was move some energy. And speaking of moving some energy, I need to live in a holy, holy way because I'm still trying to get myself together. So don't tell anybody, okay? Because things didn't quite work out at the beginning of the show. And the queen is in the house. And I want to make sure that I'm fully present when she shows up. So it's important to live in a holy, holy way. So you're going to get a little bit of that. And then I'm going to introduce you to the rocking Reverend Mio Kelly. This is the Agape Choir. Y'all just crashing my show. Slow down. Calm down. Come in very gently. The Agape Choir. Holy, holy way. And we'll be back with Reverend Mio Kelly.
Love is all around me.
Please love, let me know.
That is my prayer. Prayerful song. That's what it's about. Living in a holy, holy way. Recognizing that we are one with the one. Celebrating the one consciousness together. Don't do it. I was going to speak there, but I got nervous. I meant to do it. You're waiting. Let me pull up every reel. Bye. I think I'm ready. Agape Choir, to find out more about them. Their virtual home is agapelive.com. AgapeLive.com. Check them out tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern. Or just go there anyway. Archive. Whatever Mike is doing. I think we the choir and all that good stuff. And we had a representation of agape love in the house. Let me love it, let me love in a holy, holy way. I couldn't resist. Now, for me, it's an alignment. To you, it may be out of sync, but it's not me, because I know what I'm doing. Okay, it's time to bring up Reverend Rio. Why is it so hot? I am hot. What's really going on? Okay, let's go. Let's read some bio here. I'm ready. I need somebody to take some time. Let Reverend Rio host the show today, because I'm still trying to get myself together. So let me tell you about her so you know she knows what she's doing, and then she can just take over the show. Reverend Rio Kelly is committed to helping others see their own divinity, the best in themselves, no matter what situation or circumstance they are in, and realizing that they have within them all they need. She's a staff minister at Agape International Spiritual Center. Reverend Rio's heart called her to ministry, and she remains true to this calling. Her ministry and vision is to bring the world together through loving relationships, or as she calls it, loving out loud, realizing that the first relationship is the one we have with ourselves and spirit. I know that's right. She teaches from the knowing that as we learn to fully love ourselves out loud, we become available to love others in the same way. We begin seeing the other, quote unquote, in ourselves and ourselves in the other. And in this way, we can truly have a realization that we are, in fact, indeed, one. One with the one. That we all need each other. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics, and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my friend. She's not a guest. She's home. The rocking Reverend Rio Kelly, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay! Thank you. Hi, Ade.
How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Good, good, good. It is so nice to have you back here. I love your energy. Your voice conveys so much love, and it's such a blessing to have you here. And I know that I tell your people to be quiet. We're trying to do a show. They're all excited. Calm down. We know you love her. Got a show to do. But thank you
all
for being
here. All the angels flapping their wings, I guess. You know, flapping
I
them
know along. That's right. They said one of our representatives is doing what we want her to do. And we got her back. Let's give her an extra wing.
Yeah.
What's been going on in your world?
Oh, my goodness. Lots of wonderful things. First of all, I want to say thank you for having me again. I really, this is such a joy to be with you and Celeste, and just to be a present with you. Your energy is amazing. And I want you to know that Reverend Michael said to say hello and to send his love, and Ricky too. So just so you know that. I texted him and let him know that I was going to be on the show, and he said, oh, that's so cool. Tell Ade I said hello. So
thank you.
Hello
oh,
from
oh,
Reverend Michael.
let me take this wonderful moment that an invitation is on its way. We've been trying to send it. Don't tell anybody, but just tell him that an invitation is on the way. So
okay.
We can move on now. That was just between me and you.
So things are wonderful. You know, I'm, you know, having a wonderful time at Agape. We're actually getting ready for our graduation. We're graduating 8 practitioner students from practitioner studies this Saturday. So there's a lot going on. You know, I'm actually the one kind of producing this whole thing. I have many, many helpers, and everybody at the university is obviously got their part in doing their own thing. But I'm kind of the one, you know, pulling everybody together and just making sure that it, you know, God makes sure that it comes off without a hitch. And we have, you know, 5 honorary doctorates, doctorates of divinity that we're giving out. So, you know, it's a lot, and it's wonderful, and it's thrilling. Wow. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I have a blessed life.
I understand. I'm ready to go deeper in this conversation with you, and I must ask you this question. The first question I must ask you, I know you're waiting for it. Who are you? Who is Reverend Rio Kelly?
I am the expression of love, the expression of God. The bottom line, that's who I am. That's what I am, and it's what I do. And it's individualized as me. I have my own personality and things that I grew up with and beliefs that I grew up with that I've walked through. However, who I am is love. Authentic love.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Now, let's talk about the ways that God experienced itself through parents, through family, through culture. Because, you know, there's usually this sometimes amnesia. That's a better word, right? Amnesia that we are, you know, you talk, you say, I am love. And, you know, we, some of us know that, some of us has embodied that, some of us know it on an intellectual level, and we struggle with the idea that we are love in action, an expression of love. But if that's the case, how come we're having struggles? Why did we have to go through what we went through? And this month, as you know, the theme is opening to more love.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been having wonderful experience to open yourself up to more love, to more of who you are. Let's talk about that. So let's talk about your journey, your story, how you got to this place of knowing yourself as love. How did it all begin?
How much time do you have?
Well, you remember Celeste, the enlightened one, saying we don't have the time is an illusion. The time doesn't exist. So.
Oh my goodness! Well,
you have a book coming out, right?
I'm in the process. I'm still writing it. It's unfolding, and yes, I do. I have actually a couple of things that I'm actually writing a children's series as well. So it's kind of taken me in 2 different directions. And it's the same direction. So as soon as it, I promise you, as soon as it gets done and is ready to go, you will be the first one to know. And I will be absolutely grateful and happy to have you take a look at it, read it, and, you know, make any corrections or notes.
And so you're pregnant with twins, and you invited me to be one of the midwives. I like that.
Absolutely.
Yes. Because all I got is love. Yeah, so let's talk about this story of yours. We want to look at forgiveness and just your journey. So wherever you want to start from. You know, it's just you and I sitting in your office at Agape, and I walked in, you didn't know I was coming in. And I'm saying, River Rio, let's talk about this forgiveness thing. A lot of people are struggling with it, and we just thought nobody else is listening. And, you know, because it's just one of us anyway. So go ahead.
Right. Well, the interesting thing is that I've been, obviously I've done Reverend Michael's forgiveness work that he has in the back of The Answer Is You. There's a wonderful process that he does. And also I've been doing Colin Tipping's forgiveness, the radical forgiveness work. And when you get to that point, it's right, there's really nothing to forgive. But you have to go through a process in order to get to the point where you say, okay, there's nothing to forgive. And I was certainly not there when I started this whole thing. I'm an only child, and so I didn't have brothers or sisters to really bounce anything off of. And what I had were two wonderful parents and two flawed parents, you know. Mm. And they did the best that they could. They certainly did better than what their parents did for them. And at the same time, there were a lot of beliefs and structures that were in place for them that I absorbed as a child. So in that process, when I came into this world, I could see things, I could hear people, I could see beings come into my room, I could see I see dead people, for lack of a better word. You know, I mean, I had a very strong connection to the other side. There was really no other side in my world when I was a kid. They were my friends, you know. I would have ancestors, I would have otherworldly beings, I had all kinds of stuff that I could hear, that I could see. And as I got older, I made the interesting choice to tell my parents this, and they said, well, that's Satan, that's bad. So I shut a lot of that down. And oddly enough, my father was fine with hearing things, hearing voice, but not seeing it. So that process that shut me down also made me feel like I wasn't, whatever I was perceiving was not accurate. And so therefore I started listening to my parents' perceptions of what was accurate to get some sort of guide. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this isn't love. Maybe I shouldn't be caring about people. And so it kind of came down to a whole set of beliefs that I ended up adopting for a very long period of time. And that ultimately obviously brought me to where I am now, but there's a whole lot of other stuff in between. What would you like
yes,
to know, Ade?
yes. You know, I think of the story. I've talked to a lot of people who said, you know, they can see spirit, they heard people, and, you know, they shared with their parents, and basically they got shut down. You just need to stop it. You just need to stop seeing people, your imaginary friends, stop it.
Right.
And it's amazing, and, you know, at this journey of life, sometimes there's questions. And those kind of experiences, I mean, I believe that the things that we went through, I know it, that the things that we went through as children, like your experience, when they were saying, no, you need to nip that in the bud right now, and that was part of your spiritual development.
Mm-hmm.
And we need, it's almost like I always say, you know, the challenges that we have are like the temperature. You know, when you want to bake cake and you want it to rise, you got to put it in the oven. And the oven's like 400 degrees. It's pretty hot in there. And so we have all these challenges, these experiences that happen to us when we're younger. Even as adults, it's like the temperature gets turned up so we can rise up. But sometimes we forget that. Now, for people who may have had similar experiences and still struggling, maybe they're struggling with forgiving their parents, their mom, their dad, or people who hurt them. That's what I want the show to be about, just to, through your experience, for people to see themselves. Now, as you started moving forward in life, how did that idea, the idea that you being able to see, communicate with the other side that wasn't really another other side, how
right.
did that show up in your life as a teenager? Because you were told it was a devil. Did you believe that that's a devil you were communicating with? And did it manifest in your life as a teenager? Because usually that's where things start to really flare up. Like, you know what? I'm done.
You know, the interesting thing is that I was also raised Catholic. So I had that whole set of beliefs as well. I didn't like myself. As a child, as a teenager, I certainly didn't like myself. I never thought that I was worthy of anything. And that was where the key came in for me, and where the beliefs of not being good enough, of bad, you know, I was bad because I heard these voices, because you know, I saw these things, then obviously there was something wrong with me. And right. that was actually enforced by my father. Again, it's not his fault. I'm not blaming him. It took me a long time to get to the point of not blaming him.
Right.
It really did. It really, really did, you know, because initially when I started doing this work, everybody was blaming their parents back in the 80s. Right. You know, it's all my parents' fault. No, yes. not really. You know, and I get having to go through that phase. It's really important to acknowledge that, you know, I didn't come in with these beliefs. I didn't. And that I also came in with a plan to grow this lifetime, which not everybody understands. So I didn't understand that as a child. I didn't understand that as a teenager. I didn't know anything about metaphysics per se, although my father was a frustrated metaphysician. He would tell me, you can do anything wow. you set your mind to. That was his mantra. You can do anything you set your mind to, mind over matter. But then he would turn around and tell me, you'll never make anything of yourself. Mm. So wow. what am I supposed to believe? Am I supposed to believe that I can do anything I set my mind to, or am I supposed to believe I'll never make anything of myself? Well, I chose to believe the I'll never make anything of myself because I didn't have a lot of self-esteem. I didn't like myself. I didn't think I was worthy. And a lot of that was my mom's stuff, and she had, you know, she had a very low opinion of herself, and she's a wonderful woman. I love my mother. She's amazing. She's sweet. She's kind. She's funny. She's charming, and she can't see that in herself. And so I had both of those because I didn't have brothers and sisters. That was my model. You know, I can make anything of myself. I'll never make anything of myself. I'm not worthy. And so those beliefs got ingrained in my cells, in who I was as a growing child and as a teenager, for sure. My teenage years, I absolutely hated, you know. I didn't have any dates. I was, fortunately, I was a competitive ice skater. And I had friends at the ice rink because I was very, very talented and I was very good at ice skating. I had friends because I was good, not so much because of me per se, but because of my talent. And so that was where I got my social, you know, introduction as far as learning how to be around other people. I fortunately had an amazing ice dance coach who did tell me that I was beautiful, who did tell me, you know, you're talented and I believe in you. And so thankfully her mentorship as I was growing through my teenage years helped an awful lot to get me to think, well, wow, if she believes this and she's a five-time, you know, world champion, maybe she has something to tell me, you know, maybe there's something to this. And so I was raised in Colorado, and when I got to be about 18 years old, I was born out here in Los Angeles, but my parents moved to Colorado when I was about 2 years old because my father could not take the smog at the time in Los Angeles, which of course is much worse now, but back in the 60s, back in the 60s, it was like clear air. But
it was fresh air then, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it had nothing to do with the fact that he smoked tons of cigarettes, I'm sure. But
so the smog he was experiencing, he was the cause for it, but he just didn't
exactly.
realize.
Exactly. Exactly. And so as a child growing up in Colorado, I just never felt like that was a match for me. And, you know, my father would tell me, well, you know, you could have been a child star, but I said no and all of that. And I used to threaten to him when I was about 6 or 7 years old. Well, he would say, well, when you turn 18 years old, if you want to move back out to California and be a movie star, you can. And I would say, well, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. And so that's exactly what I did. When I was 18 years old, I left Colorado. I came back out to Los Angeles. And I actually ended up in the music business. And that's where my whole music career kind of started. That's why I love rock and roll, because, you know, in addition to listening to it growing up, that was the first job I got when I came out to California.
Oh. Isn't it interesting where the same person, the same man, your father, who said you can do anything you set your mind to, and then you never amount to anything. And then he said, if you turn 18, you can, if you want to be a movie star, go to L.A. So it's like that. It's that interesting relationship that you two have. And if you take it on a soul level, what a great loving being he was, and in supporting
yeah.
you. And of course, when you're going through the pain, you don't really see that love. It's like, what are you talking about? But just on a soul level, to see the dance and the commitment to support you in really stepping into who you are here. Before we even go, I want us to talk a little bit more about forgiveness and this other thing. But I'm curious to find out, what was the catalyst for you? Actually, I won't ask that yet. I got all questions here. What was the catalyst for you where, you know, you start to see life and yourself differently? What caused the change? Was it, did you start going to Agape? Did you pick up a book? What was the thing that shifted, got you to start looking at yourself differently?
Men.
Oh, wow. I wasn't expecting that response. Okay. Do tell. Wow.
You know, quite frankly, I got tired of having the relationships with the men in my life that I was having.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they weren't always very healthy.
Mm.
And so back in the 80s, I actually first started looking into a book called You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the first introduction I had into any kind of metaphysical stuff. I mean, I'd been through all different types of religions and beliefs and everything else. But in 86, I got the book, You Can Heal Your Life. I did not know anything about religious science. I didn't know anything about any of that. But this book helped change my life. And I did the work in the workbook. And when I talked to friends about it, they said, well, there's this place that you might want to go. It's called Agape. And this was, again, this was back in 86. So that was when Agape was first forming. And I said, oh, well, what's Agape? And they said, it's a church. And then the minute they said that C word, the church word, I was like, oh, no, I am not going to a church. So there was no way in the world I was going to go near a church. Certainly not back in 1986 or 87.
Mm.
And so that was the first time I ever heard about Agape.
Mm.
Was literally probably right out of Reverend Michael's living room, you know. But I didn't go yet. I wasn't ready yet. And so a lot of the growth that I did was through a 12-step program.
Mm-hmm.
And because that there was some issues in my life that brought me to that place, and so 20 years of growth that I did before I got to Agape, well, not 20, probably about 13 years of growth that I did before I got to Agape was in the 12-step programs.
Mm, mm.
And so in combination with the Louise Hay work, the 12-step programs, and the fact that I got really tired of having the same relationships with men over and over and over again, I said, there's got to be something. And mainly with Louise Hay is what got me introduced into the forgiveness work. That's the first place I heard it, was, you know, loving myself, loving and approving of myself exactly as I am, and forgiving everything, you know, that has ever happened to me. And so that was the first dip of the toe into forgiveness.
Yes. I like to, you know, listen to your story. I didn't expect when you said men. Most people say, I read a book or I saw a movie, I went to this place. You said men. was the catalyst. Like, okay, that's
right.
So men were the catalyst to let you know that you can heal your life.
You
need 12 steps to get to Agape, the unconditional love, the place where you can love yourself. And,
right.
You know, if we take time to really reflect on our journey, I think I've always said this, if we look back of how we got to where we are today and we just sit back without being judgmental, just reflecting on the past, I think a lot of people will have a sense of compassion for themselves because all the things that happened to get us here, it's like, you know, it's grace. It's for me, it's heartwarming. I mean, there are things that happened and there are things that didn't happen for us to be where we are today. And that is enough to be in a space of gratitude. You know, what time is it? We still got time. I got a question I want to ask you here. But okay. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on Life Conversations Radio. My sister on the other end is the rocking Reverend Rio Kelly. She's an agape minister, staff minister, and a lover of life. Mm-hmm. You can find her on Facebook, and she's got some books. She's pregnant with some books right now. The books are coming out soon, and she's pregnant with a website. She don't know it yet, but, you know, I see unborn babies. There's a website coming out. If you have any questions around love, around forgiveness, or anything that you're moving through, you need some support, call in 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. You can also post your questions on the like pages, Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show, or the Life Conversations Radio page. Now, Reverend Rio, when you shared with us earlier that when you were younger, you were seeing dead people. Now, when you shut down the ability to hear and see spirit, does it come back? Did it come back? And is it stronger than it used to be?
Yes, actually it really is now. Mm. And the interesting thing is, Ade, is that there was a period of time when I was doing mind altering chemicals, shall we say, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, you wanted to experience
when I was
it,
doing
huh?
mind altering chemicals, it was really present because there was no filter. Okay,
right.
No filter whatsoever. And so, yes, I saw them, I heard them, but then, you know, everybody heard voices at that point. So who knew what was right and what wasn't? And so then when I got sober and when I stopped all of that back in the 80s in 86, it shut down again. And I've always heard spirit. The voices part was muffled but always there because, again, my father said that he heard spirit. He heard voices. Oh, I can hear, you know, this. I can hear that. So that seemed to be okay in our family. It was the seeing part that I always wanted, but I was afraid of and stuff like that. And so I would say probably in my second year of ministerial school was when I started getting the hit that it was time to start seeing again. It was time to open up to this again. All through my prerequisites and my practitioner training at Agape, at that time there were still the United Church of Religious Science, so there was still a lot of heady things, you know, it's all in the head thing. Fortunately, because I was at Agape and the way Reverend Michael taught and the way Reverend Michael teaches, he was always teaching the mystical. Reverend Coco, all of them were always teaching the mystical side, even though we were the United Church of Religious Science. There was still that mysticism underneath it. So it made it more okay than it might have been if I had been going to some other UCRS church. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
yes,
so fortunately, I had Reverend Michael and all of them as my instructors, as my facilitators when I was going through my prerequisites. So that's when I first started realizing that it was kind of okay to hear this and it was okay to see things again and see spirit and hear spirit. But really, it was in my second year of ministerial school. I got really, really sick. And I was sick the entire year, and that was when the biggest shift happened as far as allowing myself to really hear, see, and be available to everything.
Mm.
Everything.
Everything. Everything goes. All you can eat, all you can
yep.
see, all you can hear,
yep.
all you can
yep.
embrace.
Yep.
Yes, yes, yes. We are opening up to more love. And as you were talking, I was thinking, you talked about the experience of growing up, because I believe the idea of opening up to more love, for me, opening to more love is simply open up to more of who we are. Mm-hmm. And we're here to be the representation of love. We're here to be the healer. We're here to be the change, to support the healing that wants to happen. Like when you talk about your mom and your dad, I see that your role is to heal what happened in the past, in the present. So mm-hmm. we get to create more love. And sometimes we forget that, or we're not told that. Well, let me put it this way. I personally feel like, if I use myself as an example, the things in my family, when I look at my mom, my dad, or my grandparents, the ones I met and the one I didn't meet, the challenges they went through, I see that my life is part of the healing process. Now, I can look back and see what happened, what I didn't like, and I can choose to bring healing to it as I continue to heal myself and remind myself who I am. And then I get to pass that on to my descendants. So it's like we're ancestors that are reborn to mm-hmm. bring healing to something that is seeking healing. But that's a little bit deep for some people. When you talk about mysticism, it's like, well, no, I don't know. That was just, my life was just hell. But if we are willing to sit with it. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, and the thing about it is that my father died probably 19, 20 years ago. He went to the other side. Mm-hmm. The work that I have done recently with the radical forgiveness and forgiving my father, mm-hmm. that was the first place I started, healed mm-hmm. him on the other side because mm-hmm. he told mm-hmm. me that. So it was just because somebody's on the other side doesn't mean that there can't be healing, doesn't mean that when you do the forgiveness work yourself and realize mm-hmm. there's really nothing to forgive, that there isn't a healing that happens in both spirits. And that's the key. And that is some serious mysticism. I mean, for people to go, well, wait a minute, I'm doing forgiveness work here and my dad's or my mother's gone, and how can that heal them? Because it does. It just does.
It does. That's it. It is what it is. Now, Reverend Real, what about somebody who would say, I don't want my father, my mother to be healed. They were mean. They were horrible. I just want my own healing. What would you say to them?
Well, the bottom line is that we don't do that for them. We do the healing work and the forgiveness work for ourselves. We're the ones carrying it around. And it's making us sick, not them. It doesn't matter. It's really, all forgiveness is self-forgiveness. All forgiveness is self-forgiveness.
Indeed.
And it's like, well, how can that be? Because they beat the crap out of me, or they did this, or they did that. Okay, and that was one incident. Are you still carrying it? Are you still carrying it 20, 30, 40, 50 years later? And how is it affecting your life? And it's really about forgiving ourselves for carrying that. It's forgiving ourselves for, whatever we allowed to show up in our life because of whatever belief or what happened. So it's really, all forgiveness is self-forgiveness, which is why I say it's about loving ourselves first, about loving ourselves, about that connection between us and spirit, because we are spirit, but some people have to kind of go there where, okay, I'm me and God, but it's actually me as God, me as love. Mm-hmm. There's not any separation. And as we're doing the work, as we're doing the process, sometimes that our own physical brain needs to look at a seeming separation in order to embody it as love. And so, again, it's really about forgiving ourselves for making the mistakes we made. Yes, those mistakes may have been made because our parents beat us or because our parents abused us or because of whatever, and it still becomes about forgiving myself. I have to forgive myself. My father didn't, date my ex-fiancé. I did, My father wasn't the one that went out with him, that said yes to him, that said yes to whatever abuse was happening. I did. So it's about forgiving myself for having made those decisions, for not having walked away earlier. Mm. You see what I mean? So then when I do the forgiveness here, then what happens is that forgiveness of myself, that letting myself off the hook, heals everything, the thread that goes throughout time.
That's right. And your father's life who he is lives in you, and who your mother was or is lives in you. So
right.
Really, we're always connected to them. We're continuing. There's no ending.
Yep.
There's no beginning. So what happens
exactly.
here happens everywhere. But anyway.
Right. And that's the same thing if our own children. If we have
yes.
children and we've done something bad to our own kids, if we said we've been mean or when we forgive ourselves, that it's not about our children forgiving us. It's about us forgiving ourselves, and that opens the energetic field to allow forgiveness to happen. Now, whether they ever forgive us in this lifetime, that's not the point. We shouldn't be doing forgiveness to get somebody to forgive us. Do you know what I mean? It's about healing ourselves. It's about opening to more love. It's about being a more beneficial presence on this planet. We are the ones that came here to do what we have to do. And we're the only ones that can do this job. I can't live your life. You can't live mine. I'm the only one of me that there is. Everybody else is taken.
And certainly, and there's some folks asking out there, I don't want it.
That's right.
I'm happy with me, my issues, my stuff. I can
That's
handle
right.
what I got because
exactly.
I'm an expert of my life.
Exactly. Exactly.
I just love your Reverend Mio. We're going to come back. We're going to take a break. Just let you a moment so you can take some moment to drink some water, whatever you want to do. And if you want to text me and say, listen, y'all, I'm on the radio. But when we come back, I want to talk about surrender, intimacy, and really one thing that I know brings us to a place of really tapping into more love when we align with the reason we are on this planet. You talked about being a beneficial presence. I want us to talk more about that when we come back after the break, okay?
Okay.
Life is good. It's getting better. Are you feeling the love? Did you feel that fire that was moving through Reverend Rio? If you didn't, you need to wake up. Wake up! We're going to take a break. Come back with Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. I don't know why I do that. It's a habit. But anyway, I forgive myself. Even if she doesn't like me doing it, she can't help it. You're listening to Ask Life Coach at a radio show. We're going to take a break and come back with Celestial Moment.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach at a on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Mark Hussin, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
For more information, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimke.net. That's AHIMKI.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
I know that is the truth of my reality and yours. You are wonderful. You are whole. You are the delight of God. You are free to be all that you choose to be and so much more. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. Today's topic, today's theme, today's conversation is opening to more love. That's the theme for the month. We have Reverend Rio Kelly in the house, the rocking Reverend Rio Kelly, reminding us that love rocks and love rules. It's time for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. Hey, Celeste, how are you doing?
I don't think that's going to do. You're so funny in my voice. Hey, Reverend Rio, how you doing?
Yay, hello, Celeste.
You know, you came to us in a perfect time, because can you believe that we have a love number that's running today?
That does not surprise me, Celeste.
I tell you, we do not plan these things. But, you know, I'm going to rock out a little bit. You're going to see a little bit of Ozzy in my celestial moment. It's a little bit quiet wink to you, my love. All right?
All these rock chicks in the house.
Yeah. Don't get me started, because I can do the crazy train for you. I'm done now. Done now. Because I can hear dun, 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 dun. Okay.
I should really do a metaphysical rock and roll song. How about that? Yeah, Reverend Bill. Yeah, that would be something.
I'm about to do it for you right now, Batman. All right.
Okay. Sure.
I'm throwing out hints everywhere, family. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. Numbers give us information to help us navigate and embrace all that's showing up in our life right now. I come bearing a number gift. The energy of the day equals 6. So if you happen to be celebrating a birthday today, this is your number all year. 6 is the number we are all collectively experiencing, because it is what 2013 equals. So when you add 2013, you get 6. So welcome to the Cosmic Mother Year. 6 is the peace lover. The number 6 is a loving, stable, and harmonious vibration, and it is ruled by Venus. 6 is also the lovers in tarot, and the lovers are connected to the sign of Gemini astrologically. Our 6th chakra is our third eye chakra and awakens our gift of intuition when it is balanced. The 6th letter of the alphabet is F. And words like feminine, fabulous, and safe connect us to the magical power of six. Today, we are going to put the spotlight on the bat. The bat's number is not six. It's actually 42, but when you add 4 plus 2, you get 6. So here we go. Sacred bat flew to me from the darkness of the cave. Womb-like reflections, answers it gave. Birth, death, rebirth, cycles of the whole. Never ending, just eclipsed, the journey of the soul. The bat is often misunderstood, and we fail to see the gift of this animal who hangs upside down and lives in dark caves. Upside down is a reminder of how we enter the world as newborn babies. In caves, connect us to the mother's womb. We grow in the darkness. We often fear what we don't understand, but the bat's medicine connects us to rebirth. Bats are actually considered to be the good mother. Bats, you say? Yes, indeed. Bats are mammals. They are often mistakenly called flying rodents or flying rats. They suckle their young. They also teach us how to confront our fears of death, allowing us to be reborn, our old identities removed, so that true growth and expansion can take place. Bat flying into your life signifies the transformation of the ego self is about to occur, the end of a way of life and the start of another. It's a lot easier when we simply allow the changes and embrace them, or we can be forced to endure stillbirths of our dreams through the dance of stagnation. The choice is always yours. All is well, and that's the story of the number 6. Told to our friend the Bat of Medicine card. I'll see you on Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Celeste. You just have to weave it all together, don't you?
I try.
Hey, she's so modest. I try. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
My pleasure. Have a wonderful rest of the show with Reverend Rio.
Yes, indeed. Yes, Reverend Rio's in the house, agape minister, and you know if she's an agape minister, she ain't no joke. She reminds you to love out loud. You know, I often think, you know, because we look in from the outside, look at agape, but I think I may have told you this before. The kind of spiritual awareness, the kind of energy, the kind of, what's the word? Some word that I'm looking for that will come to me in a minute, that it takes to create a space like agape. You know, people are drawn to agape, people who never want to go to church, who it's like, oh, no. But because agape represents that unconditional love. It reminds people about who they are. And for me, I believe anybody who's gone through the process and, you know, even in just the classes or a minister there, definitely gone through some, a breakdown process to break open.
A few times.
I know that's right. I know that is right.
It's not and, just once a day. It's a few breakdowns.
I understand, because that's what love does. Love cleans out everything that is unless just doesn't serve us anymore. It's like, oh, that's got to go. But no, who would I be without that? Love says, you don't need to trust me. But hold on. Love says, baby, listen to me. I got you. You know, I think people, there should be a book written by people who experience agape, the agape members, called I Would Never Go to a Church. I Don't Care If They Pay Me. See, that would be the title. Because a lot of people in agape have said, no, I don't do church. No, I don't go to church. And it's such a beautiful thing to see how Reverend Michael, Ricky Byers-Beckwith, and everybody else there are relanguaging and changing the meaning, or really bringing back the real meaning of what a church is, a place where you come together and celebrate who you are, celebrate right. your the almighty, whatever you want to call it, the divine, as opposed to, you know, I know I used to go to a church. Well, I went there a couple of times. Second time I went there, I said, that's it. I went into the church
And I left the church feeling worse than I felt going in. I said, I can't do this. I can't do this. This is just not working for me. So, yeah, I'm grateful for the work that Reverend Michael and Ricky Byers, I keep on saying Ricky Byers Beckwith. Dr. Ricky, how about that? Yes, Ricky and you and the other ministers and everybody, the announcement. I mean, there's sometimes when I'm streaming, some people, you just know that they bring their personality to it and you just know how it's going to flow. And everything that is definitely comes across as the intention is love. So I want to thank you for all that you do, and you and everybody else at Agape, to inspiring us all and healing the planet just through coming to. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you, and all of those of you who are obviously on site, but also the love streamers, all of you who stream in live. I mean, this is an amazing time where people from all around the world can actually watch our services and be present with us in, as Reverend Michael calls it, the loving room of Agape. And so, you know, when I first went there, you know, back in 2000, we didn't have streaming. You know what I'm saying? That was not it, but it was the energetic I knew had to be around the world. And so did, you know, those of in the Agape Vision Corps and Reverend Michael. And so it's so amazing and awesome to be able to see it actually come to fruition in a way that none of us had even imagined.
Let me ask you this question. How do you define love?
I define love as an eternal presence that is always happening. It is, you know, for me, God, love, beauty is interchangeable. I didn't like the word God for a very long time. It was really hard for me to say God. I switched everything in my books for many years when it said God or he. I switched it to goddess and she because I could not resonate with a male deity with a big stick and a lightning bolt. You know, I couldn't do it. And so what ended up happening is love was all-encompassing, was in everything. It was in the trees and the birds and the telephone wires, just as it was in me or in the plants or in you or in anything. And so for me, love is what there is. Love is all there is. Love is at the very center of everything. So that's love for me.
It is. Because it rules, right?
Yes, yay! Love rock. Love rules.
Love rock. I think you need to come in with your rock outfit or one of the service one day when you're the host minister. Just come on. Like, I know you guys are wondering why I'm dressed like this because love rocks. And you have the house band doing rock, so band song music behind you. That would be fun. And their folks would be like, only an Agape.
That's right.
I have a question here that was emailed. The question is, can you share about your healing, read what's on there. Can you share about healing, how you healed your relationship with men? I am having a hard time being compassionate with their behaviors, because it seems to pit women against each other. So this is somebody wanting to know how you healed your relationship, if there's anything specific. I know you talked about you can heal your life and 12-step, but was there anything else you did specifically about healing your relationship with men?
Actually, yeah, there really is. I went and a friend of mine who is a marriage family therapist used to do some little local seminars. One of them was called Embracing the Feminine, and the other one was called Understanding Men. The key to it was that you had to go through Embracing the Feminine before she would let you go to Understanding Men.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
Because the reality is, and until we embrace our own feminine power, our own magnificence, then we won't ever be able to heal our relationships with men, because we're always going to be looking at the fact that they're doing something to us or that they have power over us. And that's not true. We all have our own love, our own power. And so when I went to those seminars, and I teach this in my class as well, and it's not just men, it's masculine energy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
See, the challenge here is that I don't say men do this or men do that. There's masculine energy that behaves or can create certain behavior, whether it's in a woman or whether mm-hmm. it's in a physical man, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Masculine energy can be very aggressive, very assertive, very power over, you know what I mean? And
yes.
So that can come from females. It can come from women. I have mm-hmm. met some women who are more power over and more aggressive and more angry than any men that I've met.
Mm-hmm.
Physical men.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So what I would invite this person who wrote to do is to, first of all, look at herself, look at her own power, her own beautiful femininity, her magnificent nurturing of herself, to nurture herself, to love herself, to take herself out to dinner. Everything that she wants a man to do for her, have her do for herself. That's what I did. I would take myself out to movies. I would take myself out to dinner. And I went by myself, and I went to nice places. That's just all I'm saying. I would go to places where I would pay $20, $30, $40 on me because I'm worth it. Did I do that right at the beginning? No, I had to work into that. But the reality is I treated me and I treat myself the way I would want to have men treat me.
Mm.
And the way they do treat me now.
Yes, yes, because you created that. You make room for that as opposed to feeling uncomfortable. Someone took you, if you didn't do that with yourself, if someone took you to a restaurant and they spend $100 on you or more, you may get uncomfortable. But once we treat ourselves the way we want to be treated, we can align with that energy and that vibration. It's not so shocking. We're not thinking, why? Why is that happening to me?
Exactly.
You really must be thinking, you want to see. Yeah, I get it. I was going to leave this question until later, but I'm going to ask. It's another email question. Where is it? It's right here. As a young woman growing up today, I don't always connect with my beauty. What are some things I can do to connect with the truth of who I am? What did you do? You just shared one of it, taking yourself out. But
yeah. The other thing that I did, which was addressed by Louise Hay, was the first place I heard this and where I first started doing it, was mirror work. I started looking at myself in the mirror, and it was one of the hardest things, and this is, I make the students in my class, I make them do this as well. One of the hardest things I ever, ever, ever did was have to look at myself in the mirror and tell myself that I love myself. Now, I could not do that to begin with, okay? I did not like looking at myself in the mirror. I was engaged to a man who really actually brought this home for me, is he actually said to me, you've got to stop. Every time somebody tells you that you're pretty, you say, no, I'm not. He said, you act like you're fishing for compliments. And I said, but I'm not. And he said, come here, come here. And he took me in front of the mirror. He said, look at yourself. He said, you are beautiful. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. And I said, but I don't think I'm, he goes, you're beautiful. He said, if somebody gives you a compliment, you say, thank you. Even if you don't believe it, you say, thank you. I was 21 when that happened, or 20. I was either 20 or 21 when this gentleman did that for me. And it was powerful. But it was the first time that I was forced to look at myself in the mirror and even remotely think of myself as okay, maybe. And so if people are, if this young woman or any woman or men too are having trouble thinking of themselves as beautiful or as worthy, I invite you to dip your toe in. You may have to back way into this. You may have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm willing to be willing to like you. You know, but you got to start with the willingness to like yourself first. And again, you may not even be willing to like yourself, but you can be willing to be willing to like yourself. If you've got a really back way in, that's okay. But I did mirror work every day and every night, and I still do. When I wake up in the morning, I look at myself. I love you, Rio. I love you. You are so magnificent. You're beautiful. You are worthy. You have everything that you need. And now it's taken a lot of years to get to that point. But again, the invitation is to do the mirror work every morning and every night with looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, I am willing to be willing to learn to like you.
Willing to be willing to learn to like you. If you can't get there, just take baby steps.
Yeah, absolutely. And then ultimately you say, I'm willing to like you.
Mm-hmm.
I like you. I really like you. I love you. I'm willing to be willing to learn to love you. You know, like I said, you just may have to back way into it, but ultimately it gets easier and easier. And then when you start looking in your own eyes, you start seeing who you really are. You start seeing the beauty that you are. You start seeing the magnificence that you are. Whether you're male or female does not matter. You start looking into your own eyes and you see you. You see God. You see love expressing as you looking back at yourself in that mirror.
And I also see it as in order to see one's beauty, one's magnificence, we must be willing to embrace our vulnerability. Can you talk to us about vulnerability? Because normally vulnerability is looked at weakness. It's looked at, oh, no, don't show vulnerability. What are your thoughts on vulnerability?
I hated it for a long time. I did not want to be vulnerable. I did not want you to see me cry. I looked at it that way. It was weak. If I cry, I never saw my mom or my dad. I saw my father probably cry more than I ever saw my mother cry. And so in my world, it was weak. You didn't cry. You just sucked it up. You know, you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps, doggone it, and you just deal with it. And so it took a lot of practice and a lot of, fortunately, I had very wonderful support around me that, again, it was baby steps. It was allowing myself to cry in front of you know, a friend who I trusted. Now, first of all, to even be able to cry in my own room and sob was horribly difficult for me. It was not an easy thing. I was nowhere close to being vulnerable because I was certain that if I was vulnerable, that there would be somebody out to get me, that I would be hurt in some way. And what I did to allow myself to be vulnerable again, I allowed myself to cry, first of all, in my own room, and then I would cry in the car, and then I would kind of get out a little bit more in public or in front of people. Now I just cry anyway. It doesn't matter. But, you know, please, you know, if I'm hurt or I'm feeling emotional, I'll cry. But it took a lot of years to get to this point, and it took a lot of years to get vulnerable. And at times, I have even, not very often now, but even at times, I've noticed that little wall that might want to come up, and I have to consciously say, no, this is safe. I am safe because I'm a child or I'm a presence of God. And so I live in a friendly universe. And Reverend Michael, you've heard Reverend Michael say this. Reverend Cheryl says, I live in a friendly universe that is always providing for me. Reverend Michael's been talking about that for the last few months, for sure, in his talks. I live in a friendly universe. So that's also a way of cultivating vulnerability, because once you realize you live in a friendly universe, then nothing can hurt you. You're not going to be – somebody's not going to come out and try and get you. So vulnerability is huge, and it's also important to be able to receive. If we're not allowing ourselves to be vulnerable, then there's no place for us to be able to be receptive to receiving, whether it's abundance or love or whatever. It has to be an opening. There has to be that spaciousness that is created by being vulnerable.
Yes, indeed. And in that vulnerability actually lies our power. You know, that's when we're at our best, even though society's conditionists believe that when you're vulnerable, you're weak. But that's really mm-hmm. when that's your powerful essence.
Absolutely.
You were teaching a class at Agape, which starts in, is it July?
Yes, it starts July 18th, and it is on-site only. It's not, at this point, it's not able to be streamed or put on camera. It's just there's a lot of deep, deep work that goes on in my class. And because of the confidentiality that is cultivated in my class, it would be, I don't want to say invasive, but it would be invasive. It would be, invasive to have it streamed or to have, you know, people watching. However, that's not saying that maybe in the future or whatever that I might not be going somewhere or maybe be able to do a teleconference. I'm trying to, at this point, figure out a way to make it available and to see what I can do to make it available to people off-site. Yes, I do have a class. It's called Loving Out Loud, and it is relationship as a spiritual practice.
Yes.
That's all relationship, not just relationship with your partner, not just
That's
relationship
right.
with the man or woman you're married to. I am talking about all relationship. With your coworker, with your parents, with your children, with the brother and the sister, with the clerk down the street, all of it.
And you know, I understand what you're talking about, being able to stream those classes, because it's not like you're learning. It's not like you're going to university and read something out of a book. I mean, the classes
right.
are like deep work. Deep work. People share. I mean, I've been in classes where, I mean, some of those people know more about me than my close family members, you know, because you really open up and that kind of thing. I mean, I as you were talking, I'm thinking, I don't know if that could actually be done. It can be done, but it just means we have to bring you to where it's going to be done. So once your book is written, we're going to bring you to Atlanta. We're going to have you traveling around the world so you could take Loving Out Loud to people, recognizing that relationship is a spiritual practice.
Yes, that is true. And that is the vision, actually. That really is the vision. It is, again, it's the class that I teach is an eight-week class. And so we go through forgiveness. We go through, loving yourself. We go through male-female energy relationships. And the reason I say it that way is because it doesn't matter whether you're in a gay or a straight or a bisexual relationship. It's the male-female energetic. We go through all of that stuff gets done in 8 weeks. So my charge with spirit, with angels, with anybody on the other side who's willing to help me with this, I'm just saying, to download how that would fold out in a matter of a day or two, I'm open. You know, I'm definitely open to seeing how that's going to roll out for maybe a two-day intensive or something like that to be done.
Yes. I want to ask you this. I've got some other email questions, and I'm seeing how I can tie it all together with the few questions that I have and time that we have left. Let's talk about really aligning with one's divine mission, purpose on this planet, and how that helps in healing. Now, you know, there's a question that I want to ask now, but when you were younger, the idea of you being a minister would have probably make you puke when you was like, what? Hell to the no. I'm not being... So now that you've said yes to your heart's desire being in ministry, not just how has it helped you, because we've pretty much here, but I really want you to speak to the perspective where people can really understand why they're here, so they can focus on the greater vision for their lives rather than the pain of the past.
Well, thank you. First of all, I have to share something with you. When I was about 6 years old, I actually wanted to be a priest.
Oh, wow.
I really did. Wow. I've always wanted to be. I've always felt like God was the answer. When my father used to drink and he would pass out and I thought he was dead, I would pray, to have my father live and then my father would wake up. Now, I didn't know he was passed out and he woke up. I just thought that I had this power with God that I could raise the dead. I've always had this feeling that I was connected to God, and I wanted to be a priest when I was a little kid. So I have always wanted to be in ministry, but then, of course, as growing up and, you know, walking away from it and doing a whole bunch of other stuff, the last thing I wanted to do was go to a church. So it isn't necessary that you be a minister. It isn't necessary that you be anybody other than who you are, because the bottom line is that you can work at Starbucks or, you know, or juice, you know, Rejuice Place or, you know, Jamba Juice or wherever, and be the presence of love. You can serve God, serve love wherever you are and whatever you're doing. The key is to ask the question, how, and this is in Reverend Michael's visioning, how does the presence of God see itself as my life? I would definitely invite you to get Reverend Michael's visioning CDs and do the visioning CDs, because that will be the key to your life purpose. And that will also be the space where you'll be able to live from. So, yes, if you're a mom, and that is your calling, to be a mother, you can still live your life purpose. You can still be God, be love as a mom, as a wife, as a soccer coach. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're here for God. Everybody, every single one of us has a purpose. And Reverend Michael says this all the time. We are an on purpose with a purpose. All of us. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. We're here. If we're on this planet and we're breathing, then we're supposed to be here. So let's figure out what that is and then do it and live it and embrace it.
You make me want to start shouting, amen, teach, Reverend, teach, preach. Okay, so this is the question I'm going to ask you. You've spoken to part of it, but the second part of the question is, the question that was emailed is it difficult to negotiate being a minister when you weren't comfortable with church at first? And the second part of the question is, how do your old acquaintances feel about your shift? Were they supportive?
Well, as far as being a minister when I didn't care for church, the interesting thing that I feel is that agape isn't a church. You know what I mean? Agape is just...
I know what you mean,
It's a way of life. I read a book back in the 80s called 2150 AD by Thea Alexander. And that book was even before I ever read Louise Hay's book. But back in like 81, when I heard about the macro society, when I read about it, now this was a quote-unquote fiction book, but in that book, which you can probably find on the internet somewhere, I know they're out of print, but that book really, that changed my life first, and then, you know, Louise Hay kind of followed up once I got into the 12-step program. But the 2150 AD was the first place I even got any kind of inclination about a global society and about a place that could, a world that could work for everyone. So that's how I look at agape. I don't, you know, being a minister is just who I am. It's ministering to people, ministering to others. I would be doing that with or without the title. Does that make sense? With or without all of the training, I would still be doing that. I was still doing that. The difference is that at this point oddly enough, being a minister is growing in public. You all get to see us grow in public. You know, if I was just being a minister or I was just doing things, you know, quietly, that might not be as effective in a certain way. It's being on a big stage and making our mistakes in public and still walking through them and still growing and being able to own up to it and say, you know what, I made this mistake, I made that mistake, and here's how I shifted that, and here's what I did, and here's the principles I used. So to me, that is being able to minister and to be able to share who I am and have everybody else see, oh, my gosh, if Reverend Michael can go through that, if Reverend Rio can go through that, my gosh, I can certainly go through that. I'm okay to go through that. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I'm just nutting over here trying to – I'm muting myself. Because I'm like, yes, yes. I'm like, okay, slow down, buddy. I understand. I always say one of the greatest gifts we can give to humanity is the gift of authenticity.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people say, I'm just being authentic when they're mad. They express themselves. But what about when you're hurt? What about when you're feeling vulnerable? What about when you're feeling a part of yourself that you don't quite understand? And when we can bring that to the table, everybody gets to heal, because others get to take themselves off the hook and say, you know what? Maybe my life is not so bad after all. Maybe this is all part of the process. One of the best gifts we can give humanity is the gift of authenticity. I'm so clear about that. We got a friend of yours. She wants me to ask you this question. I don't think she wants me to say who she is. Maybe. The question is, let me go here. What does it feel like when you receive your messages, your intuitive messages? Are there any recurring messages that you feel comfortable sharing with us?
What it feels like to receive my messages are like a warm blanket. I mean, it's really comforting. Sometimes my guides can get a little bit pushy if I'm not paying attention.
I like that. Pushy, like, hey, woman.
Oh, they can give it, especially my one particular guide who's been with me for a very long time. He gets very, very pushy. If I'm not listening to him, he'll like, now. Now, it's like, I got you. I hear you. Okay. So that's number one. The biggest message that keeps coming through is write this book. That's really one that he's getting really pushy about, is that I've got to finish the books. And I have definitely, I have put them on the back burner more than on the front burner. And so that's the biggest message that has been very, very clear recently, that it seems like everybody, visible and non-visible people, are telling me is to write, and finish this book.
It's funny, the process of writing a book is a spiritual practice, because on my computer, I got so many books on there, I just need to carry my computer. Look at my book. Now, to publish it, I mean, there's so much that goes into it that you got to go through. And sometimes I'm just like, I wish there's a simpler way. And it's like, it is simple. You just got to do it.
It is.
And I understand. Go ahead.
Yep, and it is a process. The interesting thing is when I began the book almost 2 years ago, I mean, I'm not the same person today. All the forgiveness work that I've done, all the stuff that I've done literally even in the last 6 months, and the healing work that's happened on my physical body and other things, it's like, oh, gosh, now I got to put this in the book. Okay, you know. So,
yes.
Yeah.
The more you write, the more you find more to add to the book. It's like, well, where's that going to go? I understand. This has been a great ride, a great journey, a great love conversation. We started talking about in the beginning, Reverend Rio. Now, I want you to kind of look at your life from this moment and reflect back and think of all that you went through, some of what you shared with us, some you'd like, nah, I ain't sharing that yet. Some of it didn't come to my book.
They have to pay to get that one.
I know, that's right. No, I'm not just giving that up. I earned that one.
That's right.
That's your life.
Especially since the book I'm writing is an autobiography. It's not a memoir.
Know.
It's an autobiography, so yeah.
And it's some real stuff in there. You're like,
oh, yes,
I
there
that.
Is.
Yes, yes, when
yes,
I was using that mind-altering substance, that's right, I did.
Yep,
so when you reflect back and look at your life and you look at where you are today and you just observe what comes up for you, what have you learned? What have you learned about who you are? What blows your mind?
It blows my mind that the person I am today is more close than the person I was when I was 3 years old than I've ever been. And I mean that in a way that when I was 2-3 years old, I was so open and so trusting and so available to God, to spirit, to love, before the shutdown happened. And so even through all of the stuff, all of the behaviors and the experiences and everything that I went through and all of the things that I did, I regret nothing, nothing. Mm-hmm. Am I proud of certain things that I did? Not particularly. No. Do I regret it? Absolutely not. Because it brought me to be the person that I am today.
Yes.
So I guess the answer to the question is the thing that blows my mind most is that I am more real today than I've ever been.
So we are blessed to experience the real Reverend Real. Keeping it real. Yes, 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 yes. And, you know, I love how you said, you know, you're closer to who you were 3 years old, when you were 3 years old. And I think of the scripture that you must become like a little child to enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. That is right at hand. You know, it's like you've got to go back to that inner essence, that innocent child where everything, all things go. You know, and it's where things were pure when we know that there was really no separation between the out there and the out here. It was all one. I love you, Reverend Rio. I love you.
I love you too, Ade.
And I am so grateful that our path crossed. The first time I spoke to you is a long time. You probably don't remember this. It was a long time I was in L.A. And my friend Kimberly Holland. I was talking about, you know, I was thinking, at that time I think I'm moving to L.A. and I was thinking of taking classes. And I called you up, we talked on the phone. And I don't know, I think I was looking for an easy way, but it just like whatever you told me didn't sound easy. I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do all that. And I just hung up the phone. But I'm grateful that, you know, that was the beginning. That was a door opening to our connection. And when I see you as a host minister, when I, you know, just when you come to mind, when I see you on Facebook, you just make me smile. And I'm so grateful for our connection. You are truly love in action. Truly that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're very welcome. I got a surprise for you because you always surprise me. Well, not always, but you surprise me. And this is my payback. Go ahead, surprise us.
Thank you so much for letting me get another hug. And Reverend Rio, one quick thing for you. You're getting so much love. And I don't always jump in at the end, but I just had to give it to you. This is my sister from another mother. There are people, Monica, who says this woman is me. You are getting love from Tamara Joy. Love to you. Good job, baby. Aww. And greetings from Glenda. And on a personal note, one of the many reasons that I love you is you support people in being who they were. And I remember telling you how I'm a little embarrassed to tell you how much I love Duran Duran. Mm. And you put up my own way for me. I still follow that as a mantra because my own way is beautiful. So thank you for allowing me to be goofy and to rock it out, even though I'm a black girl from D.C., you allow all of me to show, and I'm so grateful you're in this world, and you said yes to your mission. And that's it before I make her cry.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I love you. I love all of you. It is my honor and my joy, and thank you so much for allowing me to be me, too. Thank you.
Oh, and thank you, Reverend Rio, for being there for all of the love streamers, says Glenda.
Aww.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I'll call you later.
Okay.
Thank you, Celeste. Reverend Rio, anything else you want to share with us? Maybe something you want to talk about in NASU or something, a thought that came up or whatever you're feeling right now before we release this conversation?
At this point, I'm just so grateful. I feel so much gratitude for being alive, first and foremost, and for all of the love that I get to experience and that I get to receive from you, from Celeste, from all the love streamers, from I'm just so blessed. I have so many wonderful people in my life. I have so much demonstration of real love, of real caring. And from a girl that was an only child, that never had any brothers or sisters, that didn't have a lot of friends when I was growing up and through junior high and high school, that never had a date, this is awesome. And I am so blessed and so grateful. And I just want to thank you for doing what you do and for allowing me to be present and to express God through me. So thank you so much, Ade. And thank you, too, Celeste. I really appreciate your caring and your love.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. We extend our love to the Agape family, Reverend Michael, Dr. Vicky Bias-Beckwith, and we look forward to having you back talking about your babies that you're birthing.
Yeah, absolutely. I will be back. Be more than happy when the children's books are released and then when my book is released, and we'll definitely get it going for sure.
All right. Peace and blessings, my sister. I love you, and have a wonder-filled day.
Thank you. Blessings to you, too.
Yes, indeed. Ah, life is good. I get to do this. I get to just have fun. I get to just hang out. I'm so grateful, even with all the other thoughts that goes on in my head. I get to just play with people. I get to have this kind of conversation, trusted knowing that something you hear will inspire you and cause you to see yourself differently and remind you that you are truly an expression of God, that you are here to do great things, that you can be what you want to be because you are so much more. It's a blessing. I'm grateful. I want you to know this, that I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. You know, there's nothing else that I need to say. It's been said other than, I'll play this song as I get ready to release the show. This is the light chant. Agape Choir, of course. I mean, come on. You think I was going to play another song? I mean, come on. I am so full. Team Jace. Oh, she's listening. Ah, yes. I'm full. I don't even know what to say. I am so, so grateful, you know. And, you know, people say, in spite of myself, yes, because there's a self that sometimes is like, stop it, shut up, you ain't got nothing to say. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say, it's been said already. You're redundant. But it's the energy that matters. And for all of you who are the place, wherever you are, if you're struggling, if you're judging yourself, what did Reverend Rio said earlier? Be willing to learn to love yourself. God doesn't make mistakes. You're not a mistake. And right where you are, you're supposed to be. How do I know? You're there. You're there. So let your love shine. Let your light shine. Let your life shine. It's Wednesday. I'll be back live here on Life Conversations Radio on Monday. But don't forget to join Ambassador Sofera tomorrow, Thursday, 8 p.m.? No, 7 p.m. Eastern. For the play experience, play, P-L-A-Y, purposely, passionately, loving and appreciating you. And on Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, Celeste Morgan, Celestial Show. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful. I'm glad I have friends like Reverend Rio. I can cry in public, too. But I'll make sure you tune into Within Radio on Wednesday. Not Wednesday, Friday, 8 p.m. I can't keep all these numbers in time. It's just too much. Just be friends with me on Facebook. And those of you that are listening, thank you for tuning in. Those we can see, those we don't see, those of you that's on the archive. And if you don't know about Agape, I invite you to check it out tonight, 10 p.m. Wednesday. Or just go to their website. You get all the information you need. You know, you learn how to, you know, what true religion is about, what true spirituality is about, what agape really means. You get your consciousness recalibrated, upgraded. I'm done. I'm full, and I'm grateful. Be loved. Be loved. It is the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself. You deserve it. And be loved. Because the act of being loved is
It's also about receiving. Allow other people to give back to you. That you continue to give a life that you receive. If you don't know how, all you got to do is open your heart and let the Lord have its way. Let the law of life have its way. You are so much more than you can imagine. I'm out of here. I will see you tomorrow. No, I won't. I will see you in my insight. But I'll be back for a live show on Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.